I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, everybody. You will never fucking believe it, but there are no less than four original, genuine, bona fide Ready Player 2 hosts on the podcast tonight. So welcome to the Podpocalypse. Our first horseman is L.
Yes!
Yes! Which horseman will you be portraying tonight, L?
Death.
Death. Okay, I'm gonna get this out of the way now. I'm going to get this out of the way now because there's an obvious joke here, right? And I'm not going to use it. So I'm Pestilence. Tonight I am your host. I'm Rich and I'm Pestilence. We have Lewis, who would have been Pestilence had I not stepped in. So, Lewis, which horseman will you be portraying tonight?
Can I be War?
War.
No. Did I just make that up?
No, War is definitely a horseman.
Oh, there we go. I'm famine anymore.
Oh, I was going to say that you were Dewey, but yeah, Famine. Famine is the other one, isn't it? And we have Mr. Ross Bell. We have a full fucking complement of podcasters tonight. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Do you know what?
Hello.
I've bloody missed you lot. I really have. As much as, you know, you firmly get on my tits a lot of the time, the rest of the time I do miss you. Yeah.
Good stuff.
So missed.
Anybody miss me, or is it just me?
I've missed everyone.
Oh, okay.
Let's move on.
That's fine. Right, fine, fuck you then. How are we all doing? I'm excited. I've actually played games in the last couple of weeks, so I've got some shit to talk about. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Suffering with tonsillitis again.
My God, you're like sick boy all the time.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Have you got some kind of congenital disorder or something? Or is it
no
just
idea.
Your face?
Just my face.
Just my face. I've noticed, because we did ever so briefly video call earlier, you have got some variety of enormous beard right now.
It is an
enormous beard.
Yeah, I haven't shaved for a little while, so.
For a little while.
Like,
because that's like 2 months of growth on me.
Well.
And the rest.
I think the last time I had a shave was Ross's birthday, and that was, what?
Fucking hell.
February.
See, that doesn't happen with me. I just start looking like Wurzel Gummidge after a while. It's not. It's not a thing. It's not a thing. How's your beard doing, El?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Moving on to the 12-year mark now.
Okay, wow. That must really be building up. What's it at? Like half a millimeter now?
I can hide small children in there.
Oh wow. Okay. We're not going to talk about the last time you did that. Ross.
It's the Operation U3 podcast.
Yeah. Oh dear. Ross, how is your beard and how is the baby that you are now hiding in it?
My beard was required to be removed before I went to the hospital, so I looked like a homeless person, apparently.
What?
I had to have a haircut and a beard.
Just in case you looked like you were there to steal a baby or something?
Yeah, I was looking a bit mental. I had to have a haircut and a beard shave, so yeah, that's all gone. It's coming back, though.
That's not the first time that I've heard an expat or a new father say that. A friend of mine... didn't shave for the entire time that his wife was giving birth.
Yeah,
yeah, was expecting rather, and she was like, "You have to shave it off before you come to the hospital."
Yeah, there's lots of pictures. So
yeah,
she said it would ruin the memory. It's gone.
Your beard would ruin the memory.
Yeah.
Wow. She married you. Is that not enough?
Yeah, I know.
Does the ruination not hit a peak at this point?
The ruination's wearing off slowly.
We're well out of the moon period now. We're well into the phase of having about an hour and a half sleep.
Yeah.
We're all amazing then. Are we all feeling happy?
Yes.
How's life? How's life in general? Is work, life and happiness treating everybody well?
I haven't been at work for 3 weeks, so it's brilliant.
That's pretty fucking amazing. Is this paternity leave or are you just a sick bastard like Lewis?
I had 2 weeks paternity and I'm in the middle of 2 weeks holiday at the minute.
It's a good plan.
Yeah, full pay for 4 weeks.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah, that is definitely a good plan.
Suck it, Morris.
Full pay for 4 weeks? I didn't get full pay on my paternity leave anyway, let's not get into that. Right, games. Let's jump right into games. Let's jump straight into it. Unless anybody has got any life-changing stories that are going to woo us, should we jump into some games?
Yes.
Let's do this. I'm going to do a couple of my games, and then I'm going to move on to somebody else, because I've got an awful lot, and I do want to talk about them. So I'm just going to quickly say that this week I've been playing FTL and Orcs Must Die 2. I know Ross isn't a massive fan of FTL, but have you played Orcs Must Die 2?
No, I've seen it, though.
We are going to have to get you on Orcs Must Die 2.
Okay.
Because it is an awful lot of fun. Unfortunately, it's only two-player.
Sorry. Sorry, it was the Silent Hill siren of my phone. Sorry.
Professionalism.
I thought it was on silent. Sorry.
Silent Hill. Orcs Must Die 2. It's only co-op, so it's not four-player, but it's a really, really good game. I just got back into it because I felt like it, so me and one of my mates have been playing that. Really good game. That's just a snippet. That's like a little kind of snifter of the shit I've been playing this week. I'm going to go to Ross, because this should be quite quick. Ross, what have you been playing this week?
Very quick. As I put in our running order, a whole lot of fuck all. I've had no time to do anything. In the brief moments, mainly on the toilet, I've been playing Snooker 2012 on my iPad.
Have you found that you've been spending a lot more time on the toilet?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got a bad stomach, darling. I'm just going to have to go to the loo. You feed her. Yeah. You feed her. Have you got a sling yet?
Yes. She doesn't like it at all.
Papoose.
What, the baby doesn't?
No.
Oh, really? Is it a sit-up one or a lie-down one?
It does both, apparently. There's like six or seven different positions she can go in, and I've not found one that she doesn't cry in. So.
Oh, that's a shame. Do you do the dad jiggle, or do you just sit down?
Wander around, sit down, try everything.
Oh, no. See, that was the best with me. Yeah. Not to rub it in or anything, but because it leaves your hands free to use a control pad. So I played absolutely loads of Assassin's Creed after Emily was born. But
I managed to get her in a position where she can lay on my legs. Where I'm quite tall, it's quite handy.
So that's pretty good. Well, I used to play WoW. When Emily was about a month and a half old, in front of my computer desk, I used to have the back of a sofa.
Yeah.
So I'd put my legs up on the sofa together, and I'd lay her over my legs like a bridge, and I'd have the keyboard in front of her, and I'd play WoW.
Yeah, basically what I've been doing, but finding time to play the games is tricky.
Yeah, you've just got to get him to sleep. Or play, you know, whiskey's pretty good.
Yeah, whiskey's pretty good.
For the baby.
Yeah.
Not for the baby.
I've got a bottle of that for my birthday. I'm not going to drink it myself, so I might as well give it to her.
Exactly. There you go. The bottle. She's spark out. Job done. So, you've been playing F-All. Yeah. Lewis, have you been playing F-All, or have you been playing Amazing Sexy Things?
Well, neither. I haven't been playing anything particularly new. Been playing a bit of Smart As and Limbo on the Vita. It's basically brain training, but for the PS Vita.
Okay, fine.
It was one of the freebie games on PS Plus, and Limbo, which is just amazing. Played that on probably three or four different platforms now. Played a bit of Mario Party 8 on the Wii.
Love it.
Because, of course, that's what the Wii U is for, playing old Wii games. And Simpsons Tapped Out still on the iPad.
Wow.
Really? Has that really grasped you?
Not really grasped me. I played it when it came out, and I sort of stopped. And I just thought, I don't really use the iPad for very much other than just browsing the web and Twittering. So I thought, well, I'd just get some sort of games that
I feel like I've got to play it. Your house is full of consoles that you play because you feel like you have to. You've got a Wii U, you've got an iPad, so I feel like I've got to play and a Vita.
It's more a case of I can lay in bed and play it, or it's not one of those games that you have to invest a lot of time in. So
it's true. That's the benefit of these little kind of tappy games.
Yeah, pretty much.
Mario Party 8, is that just, have you been cheated out of winning by the computer yet? Because that's always seemed to happen to me.
That's the whole of Mario Party. That's the entire thing.
Yeah, I played three or four rounds. I played, because at the time me and Hazel only had one Wiimote and one nunchuck.
Yeah.
So we played one round between us and took it in turns with three other computer characters. And I tell you what, by about, we played 15 rounds, and by round 10, we were both bored to tears because the computer the computer characters end up playing against each other.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is shit.
They're too good.
Well, not even they're too good. Like, I put them on, I think I would just put them on normal.
Mm.
And it was just like, oh, it just takes too long. And then I had some friends around on last weekend. We started at 9 o'clock. I played 30 rounds.
30 rounds?
Yeah, so you each get a turn 30 times. And, yeah. Yeah, by the time... I'm not even sure how far we got through, but it got to about midnight, and I was like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm really losing the will to live with this game, because there was only two of us playing. So, yeah, I was just like, yeah, fuck it, switch it off.
L, what joyous, amazing things have you been playing?
I've been playing indie games.
Indie games, amazing indie games, or kind of rubbish indie games.
Yeah, they've been pretty good actually. They've been pretty good. They've not been awe-shatteringly amazing, but they've been enjoyable. And in the end, that's all that really matters.
For indie games, that's kind of what you expect most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, they're just nice to have a go on. I've not really had that much time to play anything, really. But these are the games that I've managed to kind of steal, I don't know, like a couple of minutes at a time just to come back to, play, get interrupted by a cat, remind myself that I have work to do, go and do the work, come back, play a little bit more of the indie game. I've been playing a selection of them. There's Iktsua, which is, it's kind of, it's like you're playing as an Inuit and you're in like, you're just a person with a spear and you have to go hunting. And you have to either take down like a moose or a mammoth.
Why did you say it like that? So interesting.
A moose.
Is it Loose About the Hoose?
A moose.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's the only thing. I do sometimes forget your age. is it not Loose About the Hoose?
No,
this is just strange.
Okay,
anybody that's old enough to get that reference will be giggling now. But as Ross is, yeah. Sorry, continue.
Tweet
it
us.
It's a reference for people that were around probably
10 years ago.
Yeah, the late 90s, I would say, watching TV. Sorry, carry on.
You have to go hunting, and it's quite enjoyable. I like the atmosphere of it. It was really fun. If you just want to lose yourself for a couple of minutes in a landscape, go hunting. That's pretty good. Not all shatteringly amazing gameplay. Got very really pissed off that you've got like this cape and you've got to keep it on, otherwise you'll freeze, but you can't throw spears with it on. So you have to take it off in the middle of the fucking Arctic snow and be like, yeah, I'm just going to leave this off while I go and hunt this bison. No way, it's going to rut me whilst I'm trying to get this cape back on. And it really irritates me. But it was fun. It was fun nonetheless. Deeper Sleep, I had a lot of fun on. It's a quite a dark game, just a point-and-click puzzle. And... It's like a little horror thing, really. So, but it was pretty good. It had the same atmosphere as like a lot of other indie horror games do. You know, very staticky looking 2D graphics and Sadako chasing you from behind a wall of boxes. You know, that kind of thing. I'm just like,
it looks,
yeah,
it looks kind of like Lone Survivor.
Yeah, very very similar aesthetic to it, but. Yeah, it didn't last that long, but it was short and sweet. It was a pretty good one. It was a pretty good one. Nice and atmospheric and good puzzles as well. I enjoyed it. Another game I played was The Very Organized Thief.
That's a brilliant name.
I have played so much of this game. As the title suggests, you're going a thieving. You're in a house and you have a list of things to steal and you've got to do it before the owner comes home and beats you.
And beats you?
Yeah, the owner of the house literally comes over and starts like wailing on you, and you're like, no, no. You get hit too many times. He goes, you've been subdued by the owner of the house. You have failed. No. So you've got to go around, steal everything, find the code to the safe to steal like the monies, and then you have to go. But if they're outside the house, if the owner of the house is outside the house, then you can't leave through a certain door, and you just like got to wait until they open the door, and then you're like, ah, fool, sucker, split second, and I can open it. I quite enjoyed it. It was really, really fun. Again, no story, no nothing like that. Don't do it if you want to be like absorbed for a little bit. It's just like, yeah, I want to play a game of gameplay. Let's do the thing. And I also played Space Expedition, which is a 2D platformer, but as the majority of the indie games are. But I liked it. It had a nice look to it. It had a nice feel to it. Just going around, generic 2D platformer. English can leave a little bit to be desired. But yeah, it was pretty fun. I liked it. I liked it.
Good. Wow, that was loads of interesting games, and half of them I've never even heard of.
Yeah, I know.
Were you just feeling indie-ish?
The thing is, like, when you don't have a lot of time to get really into a game, that's why I've not played Dark Souls 2. I'd freaking love to play Dark Souls 2 right now, but I just don't have the time to invest into it. Just got off of an 8-day work streak, and I can't, you know, I come home and I'm like, oh yeah, gotta do more work, and then I've got to tidy, and then somehow find the time to play with the cats, and I get all about 5 minutes to do something. So indie games, they've got a very, very short lifespan.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you can just pick up, play, and be like, yeah, it was pretty good.
I find the learning curve on indie games to be much, much quicker as well. You can usually just kind of go for it, and you don't need to spend too much time working out what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I think it's very, very easy to pick up and play. A lot of them are.
Well, I've done some of that this week as well, but I fell into the trap of unfortunately picking indie games that were not that easy. Well, they were easy to pick up. They're fucking almost impossible to put down. That was my biggest issue. So I played some more Tomb Raider, which is still an amazing game. It's a bit long. I never thought I'd say this about a game, but it's a bit long. It gets kind of repetitive after a while. It's not bad. It's not a bad game by any stretch, but I was starting to feel like I was coming to the end of this game. You know, my enjoyment of this game is now kind of being exhausted.
And still eight hours to go.
She's still fucking going. She's still going. I'm 22 hours into a game, and I don't dislike that it's quite long, but it is quite repetitive. Yeah. It doesn't change all that much when you get, you know, into your 20th or 21st hour. And it's like, I started trying to play the multiplayer, which is okay, but everybody else is way better than me, so I stopped doing that. So instead, I decided that finally I was going to play Don't Starve.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. That was a bad idea. So this is another game I'm really, really bad at. So the problem is that, like, on my very first go, I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. I was just, like, shitting myself every time it got dark and setting fire to it. Turns out that that's not a great idea. So I had, like, a little campsite that I was, like, holding up on, like, stockpiling shit in the day. And I planted loads of trees around this, like, hoping that these trees were going to protect me, because I didn't realize that I could do anything else. So I just started planting loads of trees in a circle around this campfire that I was building. And then I completely ran out of wood, and the only thing that I had on me was a torch. And it's, like, just gone night, and the shit coming at me, and my sanity bar is nothing. And there's, like, shadows making weird shit going on. I'm just like, fuck you! So I set fire to one of the trees. That was an enormous mistake. So, it was just like I just died in a horrible fiery conflagration. It was just, I couldn't do anything about it. And I'm just not very good. And then I don't get it. I think that's my biggest problem. And in other games, you hunt stuff, you get, like, meat, you cook the meat, you, like, make basic things. This has got a fucking science machine that you make all kinds of crazy stuff out of. I don't think I really understood it. I also made the mistake of when I finally worked out that I could build walls, I built a massive wall all the way around my campsite and then didn't realise that I had to actually give myself a way out. So I got stuck in my campsite and couldn't work out how to get out of it. And starved to death.
Well, that's the direct opposite of what a game's supposed to be, Rich.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly the opposite of what you're meant to do. I, in fact, starved. So, yeah. But I still enjoy it. It's really good. I just need to get better at it. Another one that I picked up because loads of people have been talking about it, and I thought I was finally going to have to play it, was Prison Architect.
Love it.
It's amazing. Yeah. Who else here has got this?
Me.
Nope.
Yeah. Oh my god. Has anybody else played Theme Hospital?
Yes.
Everyone, surely.
Yes. Okay. So Theme Hospital is amazing. Yeah. This is Theme Hospital with a slightly more. It's got a darker atmosphere, like a dark comedy aspect to it, because it's a prison, obviously. But it's excellent. It's got the feel of Theme Hospital for me. The one major thing that it's missing right now, and granted it's only an alpha, so we can't slam it too much, is it needs multiplayer.
Yeah.
Multiplayer would be amazing. The multiplayer on Theme Hospital, which was just, in effect, two of you had hospitals next to each other.
Yeah.
And patients could decide which hospital they wanted to go to get the best care. And you could send, like, garbage bombs to the other person's hospital. That kind of thing would be amazing. I like the idea. I would love it if you could have a prison and you're near another prison and you're trying to be a better prison so that people send you more prisoners and you get more money. So you kind of help prisoners escape from the other prison.
Sick of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that'd be wicked. It's like sending cutlery. You know, mail in files and things like that. It'd be amazing. But no, Prison Architect, it absolutely got me hooked to hell. I was playing an absolute ton of that. It does get to a point where it gets a bit stale. Mm. Once you've got a kind of self-surviving prison that you don't really need to do very much with, you get to a point where you start thinking, I'm kind of bored now.
Yeah, you just watch it.
But, yeah, you just kind of sit there and watch it. And you can make it bigger, but you think, well, this is about as big as I need it to be. I don't need it to be any bigger. Yeah. If I start trying to make it bigger now, I'm just going to fuck it all up and it's all going to go wrong. But you can sell it, you can sell your prison, and then you can use the money that you sold the prison for to start your next prison with a massive starting wallet.
Yeah.
Which is nice, but that's amazing. I then played Space Engineers. Who else has played this?
Yes!
I've seen this on the front page of Steam every time I've gone there. I've never bought it yet.
It looks amazing, right? So it looks great. I'm thinking, this is Minecraft in space, mixed with Eve, mixed with like some other cool stuff. I've got to do this. I've got to play it. I played this game for about 45 minutes. I had absolutely no idea what was going on. I spent the majority of the time floating around and not really understanding how to get back to the space station that I just floated away. I then spent the rest of the time trying to fly back to the space station that I just floated away from. I finally realized that I could get into one of the little spaceships that was near the space station that I was floating away from. So I got into that and promptly crashed it through the side of the space station. And then couldn't work out how to fix it. I then realized that I could open a menu to put blocks down to build another spaceship, which I then tried to do and made some kind of like disastrous self-exploding mess that just didn't work. I just didn't get it. I didn't get it. It looks great. I'm sure it's amazing if you can work out how to play it, but I played it for about 45 minutes and I rage quit in the end because I couldn't work out what the fuck was going on. It's probably just me, but I've played complicated games. I'm a gamer. I'm a PC gamer. I will play alphas. I play betas. Didn't get it. I did not understand what the fuck I was meant to be doing with this game. Other people that have played this will now be going, you are a fucking tard. And my friends, you are not wrong. But I genuinely couldn't get it. I didn't understand what the fuck I was meant to be doing. I went over to an asteroid. I started trying to mine the asteroid. Couldn't do it. Just floated around. Just fucking. Eventually, I just got pissed off and quit. So that was that one. And the final game, because I played Space Engineers, and I wanted a game to fly around in space. I've really wanted for a long time Freelancer. I want to play Freelancer, but I can't play Freelancer. I played it to death. I played it a whole bunch of times, and it's an amazing game, but it has not aged like a fine wine. So I want to play something else. And in order to try and stop myself from playing Eve, because Eve is the soul-sucking whore of the internet, I decided that I was going to look around to see if I could find any other games that are similar to Freelancer. And one of the recommendations that came up quite a lot was a game called Evercron Mercenary. I doubt anybody here has played this game. And with bloody good cause. So, Evercron Mercenary is... I don't really know how to describe it.
It's a bit of an issue. It's...
What's that?
Not being able to describe it.
Yeah, it is a bit. It's how I imagine Flight Simulator in space would be. Right? There are more dials, knobs, readouts, fucking numbers on this screen. I do not understand what the fuck is going on. I did the tutorial. The tutorial took me the better part of 40 minutes. Now that should tell you something, right?
Oh my god, it's a bit too long. Sounds amazing.
8 meters, it's got, you've got, I mean, you've actually got inertia, which I kind of like. You don't actually have to accelerate because if you're in space, there's nothing to slow you down. There's barely any friction. So you accelerate in a direction. You can then turn off your inertial dampeners and rotate your spaceship without losing your initial inertia. So you're still traveling in the direction that you originally accelerated in. How many times did I crash this fucking thing because of that? Absolutely no idea how to fly this ship. It took me ages to get the hang of just flying the bastard ship. But then on top of that, you've got to, like, when you're trying to dock at a station, or the worst one, you're trying to dock on a plane, you're trying to land on a planet to sell something. You've got to have exactly the right, like, entry velocity. You've got to have the right angle of descent, otherwise you just burn up and explode. I only wanted to sell some fucking sheep. This shouldn't be that difficult. All I want to do is click a button that says dock. It took me 20 minutes to dock at a planet. That's not getting me anywhere. That's not helpful. I got into one firefight and that was with a drone and it nearly won. This is another example of people taking a game that should be fun and turning it into a simulator with bunny ears. Yeah. I don't want a simulator in space. There is no simulating space. I just want a game that is enjoyable to play. Stop making it so I need to fucking carry around blood packs with my own blood type on them, you tards.
Yeah, but it's preparing you, Rich. It's preparing you for the real world of space travel.
The harsh realities of space flight. It's zombies in space, yeah, I understand. It's preparing me. No, I was kind of excited. I wanted to play this. And it's got some nice little effects. Like, if you're in the cockpit and if you're in the kind of the wing commander view, so you're in the cockpit and you start turning, there's a nice little effect where kind of your head turns slightly more than the actual cockpit. So it actually feels like you're banking and steering and pitching and yawing and all the rest of it. But the rest of the game is so fucking dull. And the person that designed the 3D character model or the 3D models in the game and the person who designed the menu system are clearly two entirely different people that weren't talking to each other. Either that or somebody who's got a serious case of bipolar disorder and complete inability to use a mouse with the other hand. Because the menus in this game were fucking atrocious. So yeah, if anybody out there is in any way anchoring for Freelancer, just play Freelancer, because this game is not worth it. Either that or X, or like X Rebirth or something, because that's going to be my next attempt. But no, Evercron Mercenary is not for me. So there you go. That's the end of the shit that I've been playing this week. But yeah, I'm quite happy. I got quite a lot in.
It's compared the worst to my games you've ever played, I think.
I think it is. Compared to my normal smattering of bollocks, that was pretty deep. That was way more than a smattering of bollocks. That was an entire cascade of bollocks. Right then, so that's everything we've been doing this week. Are we going to have a short breakette and then launch into some news?
Aye.
Ooh, breakette, yes. A quite shall.
Yes. Shall, what? Right, breakette, and we'll be back in a moment.
If I asked you what a Couchmaster is, could you tell me what that is? I'm actually curious because I call myself a Couchmaster. Maybe it's because I spend a lot of hours sitting on my couch playing video games, watching movies, doing nothing. So, if I'm not really good at sports or video games, but I'm really good at sitting on a couch, would that make me a couch master? I think so. My name is John Riley. I am the head of the Couch Masters. We run a little website that does product reviews as far as video games, peripherals, headphones. We also do a podcast called The Couch Masters. You can find us at couchmasters.wix. That's wix.com/TCM1. Or you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/sitandbemerry. It's all one word, SITANDBEMERRY. Just like merry old jolly London, all right? Thank you very much for taking your time to ask the question, what is a Couchmaster? And I hope you enjoy the rest of the Ready Player 2 podcast. These guys are awesome. My favorites podcast from London. Screw Ricky Gervais.
We're back. It's news. We're doing some stuff with news. There's loads of news this week. There's loads of shit going down. I'm not going to start with Nintendo news because that's far too fucking exciting. It will pique me far too early. So who wants to take the first piece of non-Nintendo news?
Yep, I will.
Ooh, Lewis right in there. Go on then, Lewis.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys remember playing it. Dying Light.
Yes.
Basically.
Yep.
Dead Island crossed with Mirror's Edge.
Yeah.
Mirror's Edge. Unfortunately, that has been put back until, or delayed until 2015.
Oh, what?
February.
2015? That's a fucking massive pushback, isn't it?
February 2015. So, yeah. Techland have basically said that it will give them time to perfect the perfect Dying Light's natural movement, which is intended to give players significant freedom of movement across the game's open world.
Techland.
I'll be honest. Oh,
okay.
I'll be honest, it played quite well when we played it at Eurogamer last year. So, I mean, it can only mean good things.
I would hope so. The one thing that I did notice when you were playing at Eurogamer last year is that the free running was looked quite fluid. It was a bit broken in places, but it looked for the most part quite fluid. The combat also looked pretty fluid, and it was quite entertaining with drop kicking and all the rest of it. However, there wasn't much correlation between the two things.
No.
There wasn't a lot of, you know, you free ran for a bit, then you stopped and did combat, then you free ran for a bit.
Hmm.
I'm hoping that this means that they're kind of merging those two elements, because I really, really like the idea that you free run and you almost don't stop and just kind of bounce between a few enemies, smacking them around the head. Yeah, exactly. And then kind of almost ricochet off one and then onto a wall and keep going.
Yeah. Hmm. Did you actually play it?
No, I didn't. We started to get into the queue, but then we realised that the guys were being really good and letting us get interviews and stuff in, so we figured it would be better to get a couple of you on there and then and film you and talk about it. But it looked very good. It looked quite entertaining.
Yeah, because I think you guys were watching and filming me, and I probably wasn't the greatest example of how to play the game. Because
I played it. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I enjoyed it, but I just sort of... I would just rubbish at it. So
I think that's okay. I mean, I watched a few other people as well. It looks entertaining, but the problem that you've got is games that have done this before have probably, if anybody's played any of these games, Mirror's Edge, it was a great idea, but in the long run, it kind of left a bit of a bitter taste. Blink did a very, very similar thing. Anything that tries to do first-person free-running in this way, it's great when you're doing the free-running, but as soon as you try to introduce another game element, it falls apart.
Mm.
So Mirror's Edge, free running, great. Stealth, fuck off. Combat, not a chance. Blink, free running, it was okay. It wasn't quite as good as Mirror's Edge. But again, at the same time, the free running and the combat had absolutely no relation to each other. It was like you were playing two separate games. So the hope is, especially since a lot of the combat in this is melee, it's not... You know, there are guns in it, I think, but there's not a lot of guns, is there?
No, it's mainly wrenches and kicking.
Yeah, exactly. I'm hoping that they can kind of make a nice balance between the free running and the combat and make it flow between both. That'd be brilliant. 6 months is a big old pushback, though.
It's better that they kind of polish it and then send it out and it be good than just push for the release date that they already said and it coming out like a pile of jam and just...
Well, yeah, Techland made Dead Island and that was buggy as shit, wasn't it, the first one?
I have to respect companies, though, unless there's a real stupid reason for it. There was a slew, not all that long ago, you know, we're talking 6 or so years ago, of games that just weren't ready. And the suits behind the games were forcing them to be released because they wanted return on their investment. And it was bad. It was bad for the game industry, and it made a lot of the very, very big and well-deserving game development companies look like idiots because they were released far too early. Hopefully... more companies will do this kind of thing and say and just step up and say it's not ready. It's just not ready, and rather than releasing the subpar product, we're going to take it on the chin and say to you guys, it ain't ready, we're going to release it when it is.
Yeah,
I'm okay with that. I would rather get a bit annoyed now and play an amazing game later than get excited now, buy a game that wasn't ready and just be pissed off for the rest of all time. Because it's like Dead Island. Dead Island, 6 months down the road after it got released, was an excellent game.
Yeah, after they patched it.
So many people never went back to it because it was so buggy on release.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it makes all the difference in the world, I think, spending a little bit of extra time on it. So that's pretty good.
Good things come to those who wait.
They do, exactly. Or spend extra time making games. So who wants an L? Would you like the next one, or does Ross want to jump in with the next piece of news?
L, you can take it.
Okay, well, seeing as we're on the delay in note, Elder Scrolls Online has been delayed by 6 months on consoles.
Just on consoles.
Just on consoles.
Do you know how I read this when I saw this? I read this as, we're effectively going to use PC gamers as a pay-for beta test
before
we bring it out on consoles. That's exactly how I read that, yeah? Because there is absolutely no reason from a technical standpoint that this game should not be released on both consoles and PC at the same time. It's the same fucking game.
If it's working on PCs, it will work on consoles.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I can only imagine that they don't... I mean, let's face it, MMOs on consoles have not exactly rocked thine world yet. And there's a big-ass reason WoW has not tried to break into the console market. And let's face it, WoW is enormous.
Yeah.
And they just take the stance that they're not going to try and break into the console market. There's a fucking big reason for that. Console gamers will not stand for the kind of shenanigans that us PC gamers have got to put up with MMOs. There's a lot of bugs, there's a lot of balance problems, and there's a lot of having to bear with it while the devs sort their shit out. Because to start with, they'll release a patch that they think is amazing, and no amount of whining on their forums will tell them otherwise. And then 4 months down the road, they'll finally realise that they made one class or another far too powerful, and all the people that have been bitching about it for the last 4 months were absolutely spot on. So they'll try and fix it and completely fuck up one of the other classes instead. So when you can't do that kind of shit on a console, people will get much, much more angry. And people on consoles don't have a tendency to go on forums and talk about this kind of stuff. They'll argue or complain with their wallets. They'll trade the game in, they'll stop fucking playing it.
Mm.
And then it will get bad press or bad reviews or word of mouth will spread around and the game just won't do very well. And all the investment that they had to spend on developing the game on the consoles in the first place will be completely wasted. So, they're using us as beta testers, El. I'm not
this
playing the fucking
doesn't
thing
make me happy. Well, no, because I'm like, well, do you know what? You can freaking sort your life out first. Make sure that it works right. And then I'll come and play it. But until then... I think I'm keeping my monies.
Yep. I'll say this now as well. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. Make a free fucking trial. How difficult is it?
This is
buying an MMO or buying it into an MMO is an expensive fucking thing. How much does it hurt you to give us a 5-day free trial?
Yeah, or even just 4 days.
You know, it doesn't have to be long. 3-day trial. Lock the account down so we can't trade anything or buy anything or do anything with the auction house. Fuck it. Lock it down so we can't even chat. Just let us play the fucking game to see what it's like. If you don't do that, it just makes us think that the game's shit because you don't want us to try it out before we have to fork out 50 quid for the fucking thing.
Yeah.
I know, right?
So there you go. Like,
this is going to trap me in, isn't it? Fudge that. Let's go back to WoW.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. I don't accept any substitutes. Why, for the same price as a Porsche, why would you buy a Ford that looks a bit like a Porsche?
Yeah, why would you?
There's just no point. Anyway, there you go. So, they better sort that shit out. Right, anyway, another piece of news. I think it's Ross's turn now.
Yeah, Dark Souls 2 has sold a shitload in the West.
A metric shit ton, I think, is actually the official term.
It's the official weight. 1.2 million copies in the West, apparently.
Just in the Western region.
Since its release on the 11th of March. From the 11th to the 31st of March, basically.
Fucking hell.
Not bad.
From the 11th to the 31st of March, it sold that many?
Yeah.
So that's more than Titanfall. Now, you pointed this out earlier, that it is out on more platforms. However, in March, it wasn't out on more platforms, I don't think.
No, it's not on PC, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's an awful lot, and that's more than I would have expected Dark Souls 2 to sell, to be honest, especially in the West.
There's an awful lot of sadists out there.
But it's so good!
There's an awful lot of people out there that enjoy punishing themselves.
Hell's their queen.
Yes! They're like, woo!
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, well that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I've got happy feelings for Titanfall. I must admit, because when you see things like Titanfall, you expect that's going to sell. That's going to sell. Titanfall looks like, you know, I know it doesn't look like Modern Warfare, but it feels like a Modern Warfare style game. It feels like the kind of big AAA title that is just going to sell well. Dark Souls 2 strikes me as being for people who don't get out of their basement very often. You know?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, people like punish themselves with whips or computer games that make you bleed by the eyeballs. But yeah, it's done very well. So obviously, well done. Good job. Right, I've got a vaguely exciting piece of news that's probably not actually all that exciting, but maybe I am just getting overexcited. So Microsoft has posted a job listing on its careers site, asking for a principal software developer engineer to join Microsoft Studios at its headquarters in Redmond, Washington. And it says that Microsoft Studios are looking for a highly experienced senior games developer to help build and lead the team for a new AAA title within an established and well-loved strategy game franchise. Mm. So, strategy game franchises that Microsoft have come out with. Halo Wars. Now, I would not class that as well loved.
No,
also, it's only in one game, so I would not class it as a franchise. So the other one by Microsoft Studios is Age of Empires. Now, Age of Empires is a well-loved franchise, and I would really, really fucking like a new Age of Empires game. Is that just me? It might just be me. Elle, did you ever play Age of Empires? Oh, this might actually, thinking about ages now, this might be a bit before you.
Hang on.
That. Playing that, you played StarCraft, so probably not.
I have played StarCraft. Let me have, I think I have actually.
Empires 2, one of the best strategy RTSs of all time.
I think I have.
She had an amazing...
Yes, I remember this.
Yes.
Yes.
War Elephants and the Walls. It was an amazing game.
I freaking remember this. Yes. I really freaking like this game.
Yeah, there you go. So Age of Empires 2 is one of the best real-time strategy games of all time. It also had one of the most amazing cheats of all time, where I can't even remember what the cheat code was. But in effect, you've got a game in which you've got a load of people going around with camels, horses, swordsmen. There is nothing more technologically advanced with that. If you type this cheat code in, it spawned in a Dodge Viper with twin gaps.
Oh my god.
It was the most amazing thing in the world. And most of the time, if you were playing online, or I say online because we all have 56k modems at the time, if you were playing like multiplayer, the other person who was playing against you probably didn't even notice that you'd left cheats on. So you just spawn like 20 of these fucking Dodge Vipers and just fucking rock on into their base and rip them a new one. So, yeah, there you go. I'm kind of excited about that. It might not be Age of Empires. It might be something different. I honestly can't think of anything else that has come out of Microsoft Game Studios in a beloved real-time strategy kind of genre.
No.
I could be wrong.
It's definitely not another Halo Wars.
I don't know.
It better not be.
Oh my god, that was rubbish. Okay, great. Have we got another piece of news, or are we delving into the Nintendo news now? I think we might have a two pieces of Nintendo news. Am I right, or are we reaching too far?
Pokemon
no, two
news.
Pieces.
No,
technically
two pieces.
Nintendo news, isn't it? I think
Pokemon is technically Nintendo news. Yeah. I think Pokemon is definitely Nintendo news. Lewis, do you want to take the Pokemon Nintendo news?
Yeah, I'll take the Pokemon news. On Thursday, no. We're on Thursday today. On Wednesday, Pokemon and the company Pokemon and Nintendo announced that there will be Omega Ruby rather and Alpha Sapphire.
Oh wow!
Are going to be coming out in November this year. They're effectively going to be remakes of Ruby and Sapphire, which were the Gen 3 games, which I believe are actually remakes of Red and Blue.
I was going to say, yeah, these remakes of the original two games.
If you follow the timeline back, I think they're pretty much going to be the remakes of Red and Blue, but they're going to be made. They're being made in the X and Y engine, so it's going to be 3D, and it's not going to be like the completely top-down view like
yeah.
It was.
It's going to be so good. I'm so excited.
Yeah,
I can't.
Brilliant.
Can't wait to be shoved in the back of a van again.
My word, they're doing pretty well keeping this up to date. I think they're managing to keep this relevant even though they're there. What, this has got to be somewhere in the region of the 30th sequel now, hasn't it? If you count both games in every generation that they bring out, this has got to be somewhere in the region of 30 games they've now released.
Yeah pretty much. I'm not sure how many games there actually are in total, but
a fucking lot. There's got to be a... I mean, there was a load on the Game Boy Advance. It was on the and the Nintendo 64. You had Pokemon Snap and all the other spin-offs of that as well. And then on the GameCube, were they on the GameCube? They must have been.
Yeah. There was,
well,
some
was a stadium, wasn't it?
Pokemon Stadium on the N64.
Yeah. And oh. then all... Yeah. Going all the way through Wii, Wii U, all the handhelds that they've had out in between, the DSs.
Yeah, 24 in total.
24. I wasn't far off.
No, that's a lot of fucking games. Since 1996 to 2014. 18
that
years.
Is an awful lot of games.
Is that the... is that just the handhelds? Or is that all the...
It starts with Red and Green.
Does that include spin-offs like Pokemon Snap?
No, this is just, I think, the Pokemon handheld games, yeah.
Mm.
Like Ruby and Sapphire.
I think if you add things like Snap and Stadium and the other ones, I reckon you're coming up... It's got to be 30.
Oh, yeah, well over.
Fucking hell. For something that's been going so long and has released so many games, they're doing all right.
Yeah.
And I don't think that you'll find many other games companies that could get away with bringing two different copies of the same game out at the same time and not have people bitch and moan at them.
No, there are a couple of other game companies that have done similar things. I believe Inazuma 11, which is another Nintendo, another 3DS game.
Okay.
That's done the same thing. Like, they released two different versions of the same game.
You've got to be bloody careful. I mean, they get away with it with Pokemon, I think, because they've always done it. But can you imagine if they brought out a Modern Warfare game? It's exactly the same fucking game, but you get different guns. Can you imagine a fucking uproar there? You get different... these guns are red, and these guns are blue.
Do you want the final number of the games?
Oh, have you got the total?
Spin-offs? 45 in total.
Jesus.
That's mental.
Way above what I thought.
That's not including the two new ones as well.
So. I'd love to know the exact, the overall turnover, the amount that they've made out of all of those games since they started making them.
All of the money!
It's astronomical. It's got to be absolutely... I bet Nintendo are fucking going nuts because this is not a Nintendo... It's a Nintendo-only franchise because of a deal they have with Nintendo. But it's not... Nintendo don't have... You know, really any involvement in this. It's a game company that happens to make games for Nintendo consoles, isn't it? So, I mean, Nintendo have got to be shitting themselves. If these people ever decided that they were going to fuck off somewhere else,
yeah,
you know, Nintendo have got to be in trouble, especially since they passed up Skylanders.
They haven't done another game on another system. Every one of those 45 games is on a Nintendo-based system.
That's pretty much every good Nintendo game that's come out in the last 14 years. Oh, wow. Okay, fine. Have we got official Ross Nintendo news?
I have. I've just got one more quick little fact for you.
Fun fact, okay.
So, how much they are per unit, they've sold 245 million units as of March 31st last year. Combined, the Pokemon franchise sold 245 million units as of basically a year ago.
What?
Between how many games, sorry?
45.
Hang on a minute. I'm just adding zeros to this. So that is... I can't even count that. Hang on. That is an equivalent of 5.5 million units per game.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you the games that came out in 1995 did not sell that many.
No.
No.
By any stretch of the imagination. So the amount that the ones that have come out recently must have sold to bring that average up is unfucking believable.
It's got a few Guinness World Records as well. RPG series of all time. Suck on that, Zelda. Game series with the most spin-offs. And the most photosensitive epileptic seizures caused by a TV show.
Caused by the TV show?
Yeah.
And that's after all of those like Japanese seizure robot shows.
Oh my god.
How Pokemon isn't that seizure-inducing, is it?
Well,
I don't know.
No idea.
Isn't it like censored before it reached us in the Western Hemisphere? Because I mean, we missed out on James from Team Rocket wearing a bikini.
Really? I know. Dragon Ball Z was heavily censored. I know a lot of the flash other scenes were really heavily censored. I know in Dragon Ball Z, there's an awful lot of Master whatever his face is like pinching the ass of women because he's dirty.
He's a lech.
That completely gets cut out in the Western versions of it. So I would imagine that it's probably quite different in the old Eastern regions. Mm. But still, that's an astronomical amount of games. That's an awful lot of money.
Yeah.
That's not bad for a card game.
No.
It isn't bad, is it, for a card game?
That is very true.
I think they've done okay for themselves there. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done, Pokemon.
You did okay, Pokemon. You did good.
We tip our hat to you. So do we have actual Nintendo news? Do we have official sanctioned jingle-worthy Nintendo news?
Yeah, you gave me a really good feed line as well, but I pissed all over it. We're giving you more Pokemon facts.
Oh, okay. We said it. Just that back in. Would you like me to say it again? I can't believe Nintendo passed up on Skylanders.
Yeah, so Nintendo have announced another expensive peripheral.
Yay!
New product genre will serve as a first example of actively utilising character IP.
What?
Yeah, that sounds like business speak to me.
That's marketing bollocks if ever I heard it.
Is an IP an intellectual property?
Yeah, it is.
Basically, the gist of the peripheral, I think it'll be one for the Wii U and one for the 3DS.
Yes.
and 2DS. Basically, it's going to be the same as the Disney Infinity and the Skylanders type hardware. Yeah. So you can buy figures and standees for different characters from different franchises in the Nintendo universe, and use them in games. So I think one of the prime examples of this is going to be Super Smash Brothers, for instance.
Oh yeah.
So you can take a character and drop it into Super Smash Brothers, and then battle with that character.
Okay. Do you know the only way I would like this? Sorry to cut you off, but just quickly.
That's right.
The only way I would actually like this is if the game itself was very cheap. So if they said, okay, the game, so the new Super Smash Brothers game is a tenner, or your digital download or whatever it is, but you only get like one character with that. If you want to play additional characters, you've got to buy the figures. So you buy these figurines and you can use them across multiple consoles. So you've bought the game, so you now own the game across the multiple platforms. Mm-hmm. But for every character that you want to have, or like every extra level or zone or whatever it is you want, you buy this figurine and you pop it on the little...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Platform thing. And then you can play the additional content. I don't think I'd have that much of a problem with that. The issue that I've got with this model across all of the different games that are using it is that the game is full price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was one of the key issues that I had with Disney Infinity, and to unlock additional bits in the game, as I've said before, you have to buy... It's not just one character. You have to buy, I think, the packs, 35 quid. So that's for two characters and the story pack.
That's a fucking game. And if you're if you tend to buy games in the Steam sales, that's five fucking games.
Yeah.
You know, for a couple of extra characters and a level, that's it's just way too much.
Yeah, it's, like I said, it's not something that I don't know, I think I might get into it just for the collectibles, but not so much for the additional software and stuff. So
I think if they mixed it up, you know, if they mixed up the Pokemon idea with this, so you had like, say, collectible cards, and you had, I don't know, let's say three cards makes a set, and if you've got that set of cards, you put them on the platform and they've each got a little NFC chip in it, and if it detects all three cards at the same time, you get a character or you get an upgrade or whatever it is you get that thing. And that way you can buy cards that are random packs of cards. You don't know what you're going to get in them. You've got a trading game, so you can trade with other people that have got cards and build up sets and stuff like that. And you get to unlock characters and stuff that you can play in that game. That, again, wouldn't be that much of a problem. And probably in the long run, they'd probably make more money out of that because you're buying loads of sets of cards and you have no idea whether you're going to get anything good or not.
Yeah.
But at least that's a game. At least it's something to do and something to like work towards, rather than just spending a stupid amount of money on these figurines and just like playing an extra level or playing with an extra character. I mean, the extra levels I get, but the extra characters don't give you anywhere near enough content to be worth the money that you have to spend on them.
No.
It's
Nintendo's MO, though, isn't it? Peripherals.
It is, but
more money.
I mean,
to make all the money.
They've fallen into the same trap with Disney Infinity as well, thinking that they could get away with just charging this kind of cash. And while it was a great idea, the model that they put towards it is just far too expensive.
Skylanders is fairly reasonable priced comparison.
I think that's the reason that Skylanders, but also the gameplay with Skylanders, I've got to say, is way more compelling than it is in Disney Infinity or some of these others as well.
Mm. But yeah, so that's our Nintendo news. Bad Nintendo.
Actually, there is one little bit of extra Nintendo news.
Hang on, this is now three pieces of Nintendo news. This is fucking unprecedented.
What is wrong with today?
There is no precedent for this. Okay, go ahead.
It was kind of, hey guys, have a look at these two shinies. By the way, we lost like 23 billion yen this year. So
yeah, it's 23 billion yen, like £4.50.
No, it's $229 million.
Oh my God.
It's quite a lot.
£135 million.
That's quite, my inbuilt exchange rate obviously isn't working properly.
Based on the profits of last year.
Hang on. So have they actually lost that money, or is it just less than the amount that they made last year?
Less than the amount of the last year.
Okay, so they've not actually lost money. It's just less profit.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
They've said it's lower than expected demand for the Wii U console and 3DS handheld.
You know what?
To miss its forecast.
The fact that you can lose that much profit based on the year before, but still make a profit, is fucking amazing.
Yeah. They're not doing bad, are they?
They're doing okay. Let's face it. You can lose that much profit in a year and still kind of go, yeah, but we still made 220 million. Yeah. I think you're probably, you've earned that summer home, really. That was loss over the year before, but how much is the total gain?
No, it was the Japanese firm reported a net deficit of 23.2 billion yen. A reversal of its 7.1 billion yen profit on the previous year.
Oh, okay. Right, so it is actually a deficit. It is actually a loss. It's not just that they've made less money than last year. They've actually lost money this year.
Yeah.
That's because they haven't released a console this year, or a new 3DS.
Oh.
This is more evidence that Nintendo make all their money on the hardware. And this is a complete flip over. I mean, people will completely argue with me, but fuck you. You're wrong. The traditional rule is companies do not make money on hardware. That's the normal rule. They bring out the Xbox, they bring out the PlayStation, whatever it is, they will lose money on the console. Mm. They make their money back on the license for people making games for those consoles. And for all the additional shit that you have to pay for, their online services and all the rest of it, they will make money in the long run. Nintendo, however, will either break even or lose a small amount on the consoles themselves. But the amount of fucking peripherals that those fucking bastard cell just bounces them right the fuck back up.
Yeah.
And the amount that they sell, that's the other thing. The sheer volume of consoles that they shift, their manufacturing process must be so fucking streamlined by now. The actual cost of these consoles versus the amount that they're making on them after 6-7 months of manufacture must sway way into their favor. And they don't have to drop the prices of the consoles as quick as the other major manufacturers do, because the consoles are much more cost efficient anyway. Mm. The PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One, they were fucking expensive when they came out. The Wii U didn't feel so expensive.
No, it was under 300.
Exactly. So it didn't feel like, they don't have to drop the price so quickly, which in the long run means that 6 months down the road, they're now making a considerable profit on the hardware. Whereas the other guys have got to drop it because people are saying, look, it's too fucking expensive. So 3-4 months down the road, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4 have both dropped their prices. Mm. So they're doing okay, but obviously not as okay as they did last year.
Yeah.
It's fine. Oh. They can make it up. Look, it's fine. If they're going to have that Pokemon game coming out, they are going to fucking be laughing.
Yeah.
Their way to the bank.
Pokemon and Smash Brothers are coming out soon. So.
In terms of mood swings, Nintendo in the gaming industry have probably had the most mood swings out of any manufacturer. And the other ones that swing end up fucking off.
Yeah, Sega.
Sega, dead. They had a mood swing. They never swung back out of that. So Nintendo are doing okay. They're managing. They're coping.
Yeah.
Right, that's got to be the end of the news. That's far too much Nintendo news for 1 week. My head's going to fall off. So we've got to go. We've got to do the ever so brief upcoming games. Ross, do you want to just take the upcoming games away quickly?
Yeah, there's only two major ones, really. The Amazing Spider-Man 2 is coming out on every single game system ever. On the next gen or current gen consoles, it's £42 on Amazon. On the other ones, I think it's a little bit cheaper, probably 36. I'm going to guess at. Let me have a quick look. No, still £42. Oh, no, £35. That's not bad. That's a pretty good guess. And Kirby Triple Deluxe on the 3DS. £27.85. They're both out on the 16th.
Oh, okay then. It's quite a short one this week.
Yeah, not much.
There's a couple of little kind of mini-ish indie games that are coming out this month. I don't think I've got official release dates for this. They just say May, so it might be in a little while. But there's a game called Dread Out, which Elle may have heard of.
Yeah, we have.
It looks okay. I'm not so convinced about this. It looks very similar to previous games where you look through a camera and get a little bit scared, and there's a Japanese girl that's making weird breathing noises, which normally I'm okay.
I talked about this not too long ago, actually. Yeah.
You did, yeah. But that's supposedly coming out this month. There's another game that's coming out called Ascendant, which looks okay. Which is like a side-scrolling platformer, but the art style on this thing is absolutely fucking lovely. So, I don't know. I'm not so sure about this game myself, but the art style is really good, so it's worth looking at. There's a load of crazy ones. There's Tango Fiesta. There's Muffin Night that's coming out on Steam as well.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, exactly. There's a game called They Breathe, which... there's some weird... It looks... Do you know what? Weirdly, it looks like it might be okay, but only because it's fucked up. Like, it's one of those. You're a frog. You're effectively a frog, and you're floating around, right? So you're swimming around, and you're doing some shit, and then every now and again, you get attacked by an underwater cow.
As you do.
Okay.
And you've got to fly, and you've got to catch bubbles to make sure that you've got some oxygen, because obviously you're a frog, you can't breathe underwater, while avoiding all the cows and stuff. It's weird. Fucked up, I think, is probably the way that I would describe it. I think definitely fucked up. But this has managed to get on the radar of a couple of big uns like Kotaku, so it's a bit strange. I think that's it. I don't think I need to go too deep into the extraordinarily fucked up shit that I managed to find on Steam. Muffin Night looks kind of cool. Tango Fiesta, not so bothered about that personally, but... Muffin Night looks kind of sweet. If anybody's seen that, this is another side-scrolling game, but it's like a 2D side-scroller on a 3D plane.
Right.
I don't know what they call that. 2.5D. Is that right?
Yeah, like Rayman, the new Rayman.
Yeah. But it's almost like it looks like it's kind of in arenas. But the backdrops are really nice. The arenas look really good. All the artwork is really good. It's very colourful. It's nice. It looks very nice. So that's coming out this month on Steam as well.
Cool.
That's
cool. I'll be honest, I'm getting a little bit bored with side scrolling games these days.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No, there are
I
so
agree.
Many.
There
I
are so
agree.
Many of them that it.
You become dead on the inside too.
You do. The problem is even the good ones are getting lost in the mix now though.
Yeah.
There are some good ones out there, and they're just kind of getting lost in the mix. Muffin Night looks pretty good. Ascendant looks pretty decent as well. But yeah, I agree. It's difficult. It's difficult to find the will to actually give them a shot because there's so fucking many of the fucking things.
You get overwhelmed by an overwhelming sense of meh.
Yeah, can't be arsed. I've played lots of side-scrollers now. I think side-scrollers have officially had their day. Who knows? Little while, they'll probably come back again. But for now, just let them die. Just let them die. Let them fall over and let them gurgle. Right. That's it. That's the news. That's the upcoming releases. Can we be arsed with the charts?
No.
Nah, fuck them. Fuck you, charts. Right, so we'll be fuck you and the horse you rode in on. We will be back. We'll be back in a minute.
Did you see the latest Nintendo newsletter?
Whoa, nice graphics. I'd like to get my hands on that game.
You mean you haven't played it yet? We can play it on my Nintendo Entertainment System.
It's The Legend of Zelda, and it's really rad. Those creatures from Ganon are pretty bad. Octorox, Tektite's Levers, too. But with your help, our hero pulls through. Yeah, go, Link. Yeah, get some.
Awesome. Intense.
The Nintendo Entertainment System. Your parents help you hook it up. The Legend of Zelda sold...
We're back. It's top three. And more importantly, it's my top three, even though I didn't win last week at all. In fact, I wasn't even here. So it's a sympathy top three, but it's fine. I'll take it whichever way I can get it. Don't do that. I'm going to accept it. Any way I can get it, I'm going to accept it. It's like I'm in prison. If I can get it, it's mine. It's fine. So, my top three this week for you guys. Don't take this too seriously, but... As we've kind of universally panned the entire idea of figurines, games. As we've kind of universally destroyed the whole thought of figurines for any type of game, because they're far too expensive and generally a bit shit, I would like you to give me three games that you think, forget about money, forget about anything else, would work in a collectible figurine or a collectible card style game. How the game would work and why it would be more fun in a collectible style. And I'm going to give you an example because somebody's going to use it. So I'm going to get out of the way now. The example that I thought of was Mario Kart. So the obvious example there is you can buy extra carts, extra characters to go in the carts. You get extra levels. Fuck the cost. Let's just go for fun. Let's say that they are 20p each. And you can trade them, and you can do anything that you want with them, but you can collect the different carts, you can collect the different characters, and each pack is completely random, and you don't know what you're going to get in them. So it's a completely random cart, you can get a completely random character, you put them together, and you have fun.
Okay.
So that's the kind of thing I'm after, and it can be absolutely any game. So it doesn't have to be something fun and cartoony or Nintendo-ish, it could be a horror game if you want, so L, there you go. So... anything that you like, and the way that you would make the collectible item work within that game. So I'm going to start off with Ross, because he made a noise.
Okay. I want to take it slightly differently, though. When you first said the idea, something immediately sprung to my mind.
Okay.
And I'm going to take the game you mentioned as well, Mario Kart. But I'm going to go for Mario Kart Top Trumps.
Oh, okay.
Because...
used to love Top Trumps.
Yeah, so did I. I haven't played for years. And if you go through all of the Mario Kart games, what, they're on 8 now? There's a lot of different vehicles and characters in there and weapons and stuff. I think that could work quite well.
Yeah.
So is the idea that you play Top Trumps to win the cards off of the people, and then you can take the cards that you've won and like put them on the NFC thing, and then you get those items in the game?
No, mine is literally... Top Trumps.
It's just Top Trumps.
Yeah.
It's just Trumps.
Because I miss Top Trumps.
Mario Kart slightly. So there's no actual video game integration with this. It's just Top Trumps.
It's just a card game.
See, I do like Top Trumps. Mm. And you're right, it's been an awful lot of Mario Kart installments, so they got a lot of content to fill from. I will almost guarantee you that there has been a Mario Kart or a Mario Top Trumps game.
Yeah, it's an Nintendo franchise. And if it has
come out, it's come out in Japan somewhere. Topu Trumpu.
Oh my god.
Like that. I reckon that's what it is. Okay, I'm on board with that. And anything Top Trumpy, I'm kind of on board with as well. I haven't played that in a long time, but that is a serious blast from the past.
Okay.
I'm going to shoot for Lewis next.
I would probably go for, worms.
I like this already.
So you buy the little worms figurines, and you can act it out. So like a worm farm, but you're actually playing worms as well.
Oh, okay. So so you actually move the worms so is this like a kind of virtual, what do they call it? Augmented reality thing. So
yeah, yeah.
Put a
so
table
like you move
next.
Yeah, you move your little worm about. On your Kinect, or you use, or you, oi, sailor.
The connected pick mine up. That's all I'm saying.
So you move the worm about on, I don't know, if you're playing it on Steam, you'd use a webcam, or if you were using whatever other device, the camera that comes with it, and you can move it about, and then you pop down a card for, I don't know, whatever weapon it is that you want to do. So, you're integrating two different types of collectibles, of cards and the figurines. And you can, customize your characters by changing the style of them. So if you put a hat on it, then that changes the NFC.
Okay.
That changes the NFC code. So
they've got accessories as well. So hang on a minute. So you've got figurines for the worms.
Yeah.
You've got accessories for the figurines. And you've got cards for the abilities.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, great. And so the game is still played on a computer, but through kind of augmented reality thing using the cards.
So using physical items.
Presuming each one of these things is tradable.
Yeah. So you can trade them, and you can trade ownership of them. Right. You get little cards as deeds, Why not? So you can level up.
I'm getting carried away now because I think we might have a game here. I'm a little bit worried. Stop talking. We're patenting this now.
So you you can level up a worm and then wing it on eBay and get rich.
Get shot. So then 90th level worm paladin.
You are actually worm farming
with a +5 citizen of doom. Okay, I like this idea. Okay, good. L, it's your turn.
Okay. Would you like the horror one first or the funny one first?
Well, the thing that you got to watch out for is if you don't use up the one that might be slightly obvious, somebody else might get it. So
none of our answers are ever obvious.
Okay. Fine. I'll use up my Silent Hill one now before someone else takes it from me and I get into a rage. So, Silent Hill figurines. So, each figurine is a different manifestation of a different neurosis that you'd have in-game. And each figurine that you log into the game, so each one that you register, affects the game itself, not only in introducing a new monster, which I'd want to be a singular one, which stalks you throughout all of the areas, but it introduces new areas themselves and unlocks doors depending on what neurosis you choose. So say, for example, in the Silent Hill game, the nurses were a manifestation of look at James's burgeoning sexual neuroses. look at that abandoned whorehouse. Let's go in there and party.
They gave me mixed feelings because it's just like so hot, but so stabby.
Oh, God, no. Don't look at me
the
wrong way.
I'm not sure whether to get closer or run away. It might be worth it.
But do you know what I mean? I think that'd be pretty cool.
I like this idea. So the downside is that whatever it is you pick stalks you through the game. So the nastier the thing that you pick or the different type of things that you pick, or presumably you can pick more than one thing at a time.
Yeah,
And they stalk you through the game and it makes the game more difficult. But the benefits are that the more things or the nastier the thing that you're being chased by, it opens up more areas and more benefits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I like it. It's a double-edged sword.
It is. You've got to be in horror. But that's why I only want it to be a singular monster.
Right,
that makes
it
scarier.
You don't pick multiple ones. I almost kind of like the idea that you could have a bit of a dungeon master thing going with this, where a friend could cover up the plate that you're putting the figurines on, so you don't know what's chasing you.
That'd be pretty cool.
So they could put something on there, and then they could swap it out for something different, and so you're being chased by something different every now and again, and like fuck the game up even more. I like this. I like this quite a lot. Okay, I'm going back to Ross.
Yes, I would go for what was the name of the Star Wars RPG on the PC?
Knights of the Old Republic.
That's the one. I would go for one of them, but with cards that gave you special Jedi or Sith powers that, when activated, would go onto your character.
Okay.
Pretty simple.
So this is another trading card game, but you apply them to the game after you're ready.
Yes.
And are they used then? Are they gone? Once you've applied them to your character?
Yeah, they're one-time use only. I'm thinking like Steam cards, basically.
Like a scratch-off code on it or something?
Kind of like that, yeah. Well, like the Steam cards that you get, I'm sure they're supposed to do something in-game, aren't they? If you get them, you use them once and you...
Do you know what? If they fucking do, I've never noticed it.
I know. I've heard someone say that's what they're for before, but I would sell them. But I think that's the actual point of them. So something like that, where you get different powers that you can use for your current game and switch them in.
I like this. And presumably, so it's a trading card style game, so you can trade in with other people. So if you've got something that you've already got on your character, you could trade it with somebody else for something different.
I was thinking more pretty much along the whole Steam cards type of thing. So if you wanted to use it, you could earn. Yeah, and if not, you could sell it.
Okay, so you earn them while playing the game.
Yeah.
And you sell it online if you don't want it, or you use it on your character.
Exactly.
Or mix them together to make something more powerful and then use that on your character.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I like that. So it's all online.
Yes, it's all through a one thing like Steam.
So this is exactly you. This is like an achievement. This is an enhancement of the achievement system, really, isn't it?
Basically, yeah, you do things in-game, you get rewarded.
Yeah, no, I like that idea. I like it quite a lot. And you can trade it with other people, so it's a whole trading thing as well.
Yeah.
I like it. Lewis, what is your second attempt?
my second attempt is a think Minecraft Lego.
Okay.
But reversed. So it is a
things.
So it's a 1-to-1 ratio Minecraft. So you build stuff.
Okay.
In real life. And it puts it in the game.
So this is another reality thing, is it?
Interactive Lego.
No. Yeah. So. Well, all right. Maybe 1-to-1 is like a 1-to-1 ratio is a little bit OTT, but yeah, like maybe a 10-to-1 ratio. So you build a Lego house.
Okay.
Out of like Minecraft styled Lego bricks, and that then appears in the game.
Okay, great. And then you can disassemble that, and then you build something different and put it in front of the camera, and that appears in the game as well.
Yeah.
So augmented reality stuff here.
If you need to build, like, a shelter really quickly, and you happen to have one built at one side just out of, like, I don't know, wood, then you can pop that down on your AR pad, and then there you go.
And that appears in the game, and you're okay.
There's a shelter, and you can... it's basically like the crafting table. You can have an AR crafting table, so you can put down your blocks.
Yeah. I like this. So if you buy blocks, I guess are they in packs? So you can buy a pack at a time,
and they're just sorted blocks.
Yeah.
So like do Lego, or you can buy like mixed blocks.
Yeah.
Mixed sets. So if you want to build like just using the cabin as an example again, you get the exact number of blocks to build the cabin, but obviously you can use those to build other types of items with the same stuff.
I kind of like the idea that gold blocks are very rare, or diamond blocks are extremely rare, and like every now and again you get like one diamond block in a mixed pack.
Yeah,
but
so you,
like, if you're in real trouble, you put a diamond block together and you hold it in front of the thing, and then your guy gets a diamond sword.
Yeah, so basically you get like your super common, your rare, super rare, and your like the different types, the different values of blocks.
I think this might be the Lewis augmented reality revolution going on tonight. I'm a little bit worried that maybe we should just cut this podcast short because. He's giving away shit that could make us an awful lot of money right now. I'm just saying, how has nobody done this? How is this not a thing? You know, oh my god, something's coming at me. I desperately need a barrier. Quick Lego, build a barrier and then hold it up in front of the camera. That'd be amazing. Can you imagine having four people sat in the room? Guys, I'm being chased. I need a bow and arrow. Fucking don't worry, I'm making the arrows now. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
That'd be amazing. Okay, good. Right, L, you've got it. You're going to have to do something good to top this. Let's do it.
Okay, it's a Cooking Mama battle card game. But the cards are also scratch and sniff.
Oh, amazing.
Okay,
yeah. Great. So, it's just all Cooking Mamas. Just all of the cards. They're all Cooking Mamas.
But they smell different.
And they all smell different because they each have a different speciality that they can cook. Now,
lasagna flip, cooking mama.
Yeah,
lasagna cooking mama.
This is not a game for the olfactory impaired, really, is it?
No, but
mint Fiennetta, cooking mama.
Delicious.
Yeah, smells like old boots, cooking mama.
No, but this, just a battle card game like Magic the Gathering, but with cooking mamas, and perhaps she can have
a battle card game. So
a battle.
This is multiplayer. So somebody slaps down, you know, beetroot and
beetroot mama versus carrot mama.
And then I see your carrot multiplier. With a steak and onion something.
And I attach...
I like to think that there's a speed element to this game. And at some point, like if it gets really intense, there's a real fear of hyperventilation.
And is...
Like, I don't know which one was beef!
and chances are, taking speed would probably make the game a lot more interesting.
Yeah, right, exactly. You lace the cards with...
Or like cocaine, just like cocaine. Yeah. Or acid. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
You know how they said every dollar bill in America is laced with at least like a 0.5% gram of cocaine or something? I like to think that every scratch and sniff Cooking Mama Battle Royale card is laced with a similar amount of narcotics.
Much, yeah. Much more.
So you don't, you have no idea what card you're going to play
unless you've scratched and sniffed it.
Yeah, so you have to, have to sniff the card to know what card you like, what combat card you're about to play.
Yeah, I know, right?
This has got medical trauma written all over it.
It's so good.
So not they're for people that have asthma.
STDs, like, separately.
Is it Bertie Bott's Any Flavoured Bean from Harry Potter?
Yeah.
Let's do this. But
smelly cards.
A Cooking Mama's Any Sniffy Card. Okay. Oh, my word. I've got absolutely no idea what this is, but it smells like bollocks, so I see your carrot truffle!
And you can have knives to attach to the Cooking Mamas, and different knives give different bonuses. Or maybe frying pans, just cooking implements. I attach this Le Creuset pan to my Cooking Mama. Yes! Extra defense!
T-Fal in your face! Okay, fine. Alright, this is that's just crazy. So, Ross... Do you have anything equally as crazy?
I'm also quite sensible in comparison, I'm afraid. Okay. I don't know, boring, eh? Yeah, you should collect the micro machines, little cards.
Oh, yes!
Yeah, I used to love micro machines. And then the game came out, and I was just like, oh my god. I don't think I was old enough to jizz everywhere, but I mentally jizzed everywhere when that came out.
The announcer in that game was superb. But in a kind of Burnout Paradise style world, so basically a big open world where you just drive around and challenges just occur in certain places.
Okay.
You would have, you could swap out whichever car you were driving by whichever car you had on your little, like, magical port thing, basically. Same as Skylanders or Disney Infinity.
I don't like the idea of a magical portal.
No, it just, really shit.
It sounds
a garage.
Like a garage would be a good idea, yeah. A magical portal just sounds like a euphemism. It sounds like the kind of thing that the parents tell kids to stay away from, you know? So don't do the magical kids.
When we spoke to Dan, even the developers and the guys that were building it,
yeah,
when talking to press, and even is it Activision?
Yeah.
And Activision's own press team, so Dan and various other people, community managers, they still maintain that it's magic.
Yeah.
They won't explain what the technology is behind Skylanders.
Okay.
It's just the
it's
guys.
It's just
there.
Magic.
Yeah,
it's not Bluetooth. It's not NFC. It's magic.
Now shut your face and enjoy your game.
Some Harry fucking Potter shit going on with our USB connectable device. That's 5 volts of magic right there, bitches. Okay.
Yeah, but
so micro machines, magic portal.
Basically, yeah, because micro machines were really fun to just collect anyway. They were awesome.
Yeah, they were.
You'd always lose them, but.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, you could always expand that to, like, Hot Wheels or other collectibles or other racing collectibles as well. Yeah. So, yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah, I quite like that. And presumably, so there's races and it's online races. And could you do, like, a tune-up style thing as well? Could you have it so maybe the micro machine little cars could be taken apart so they've got a different, you know... Because they did a load of micro machines where you could take the body off them.
Mm.
And swap different bodies onto them, couldn't you?
Yeah, fairly. So. I think I remember them. Yeah,
I'm sure I had some of them. So you could almost do a kind of like Need for Speed Underground style thing, where you swap the bodies around and soup them up and make them better in the game and stuff. I'm liking this. Do you know what? Excuse me. Do you know what? This whole top three is starting to open my eyes to the possibilities of this technology. Do you know? This is really starting to kind of. I'm beginning to wonder why companies have gone the route that they've gone with this. Because if they listen to this podcast, I firmly believe that there's shit going down.
Yeah.
They could really easily do this. Okay, fine. Right, so we've got some crazy ones so far. So micro machines, Burnout Paradise. Okay, Lewis. Is this one augmented reality, or is this one just badass?
This is probably going to be augmented reality, and probably not not a game that I would play, but now, you know the sticker albums?
Oh, so, yeah.
Ross, you must have collected these.
I am now, for the World Cup.
The World Cup sticker albums. Yeah. A FIFA, is it Panini, the company that puts them
stickers,
out?
Stickers, yeah.
Them? Yeah. A FIFA Panini sticker album.
Nice.
Now, you collect the characters, you put them in your, like, I suppose, again, it would be an AR sticker album, and then you then get that character in the game. So you effectively start the character, the game with no characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it. Unknown. I like you start the idea. Maybe start with an unknown character, like an unknown, like random characters that are just completely generated,
or even just like you pick your character.
Yeah.
You pick
you, and that is it. And you don't get any other players. And then you have to unlock them by buying physical stickers.
Do you know what would? Do you know really know what this would work with as well? Championship Manager.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this so you could unlock characters and even teams or you know anything that you want you unlock it by collecting the stickers. So you're playing the whole sticker collection game, and by sticking it in the album, you're committing it. Then you can't trade it anymore because it's stuck in the album.
Yeah.
And you then get that character to play with, and then you can start leveling them up and all the rest of it in the game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm not even into football, but I'm okay with that.
I was good.
I used to collect football stickers when I was young and attempting to be cool.
Yeah,
I grew out of that. Okay, yeah. Final one now.
So, do you remember way, way back when we talked about Star Trek Excalibur?
No.
That was on the podcast. Basically, Star Trek Excalibur is where you and a group of friends live Star Trek. So you have a commander, you have someone who's like a pilot, you have someone who does engineering, you have someone at comms. Yeah, so you have like the full lot of you all in different screens, all helping to control the starship.
Nice.
You know, and then, you know, you've got the one on the TV and that's fine. So I want badges that enable you to control different sections of the ship. Collectible badges. And each badge, of course, unlocks a different section of the ship on your console. So you can, like, I don't know, master different areas of the ship. So, like, loads of you can be like, oh, yeah, I'm, like, a specialist in Machinolinguistico. And, you know, all these different things. I love that. I'd love to have, like, badges and be like, yeah, fuck you all. I'm in engineering.
This sounds incredibly geeky. I mean, I'm a geek, but man, this sounds incredibly geeky.
No, isn't it?
So it's a single ship that multiple people can play on, and you can all master different things on the ship, all for the benefit of the same crew and the same ship, and to advance the game.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay, great.
So if I understand this...
It's MMO, almost.
No, because you're all in the same living room.
Oh, you all play together in the same room. Okay.
Yeah, so if I understand this, it's basically a co-op, but like a local co-op FTL.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But you all level up differently, and because of these badges that you've bought,
you get
different specialities. So you can go, okay, like today I'm going to play this badge and this badge, therefore I'm best placed in engineering. And I guess the more you play in engineering, the more badges you level up.
The badge.
Yeah, exactly. And then you can do more stuff. Oh, I like this. I like this a lot. So it's a couch based cooperative space adventure game.
I
really like this quite a lot. And presumably you can go out on away teams, and it could be all kind of interactive, and you can have Connect going on and all kinds of stuff. I actually quite like this. I've got to admit, it was a bit fucking shaky at the beginning, but now that you've explained it, I'm on board with this entirely. Okay. This is it. That's it. That's all three for all of you guys. Jesus. Do you know what? I've got to fucking admit, I was a little worried about this. I was a little worried about this top three, but fucking hell. Talk about rocking it out. I honestly didn't. I don't think I would have been able to think about that many. I don't think I'd have thought of that many games that you could actually apply figurines or trading cards or some kind of external interactivity to these games. And now that we've done this, I've got to admit, how the fuck are people not doing this? This has probably been the most eye-opening top three that we've ever done for me.
Gaps in the market.
Right, I'm gonna break this down. Mario Kart Top Trumps. Really like it because I love Top Trumps and I like the idea of having like Mario characters and karts and possibly even having like a kind of Top Trumps combo thing where you put a kart and a character together. Yeah. To make like your combined card. I like that idea. You kind of lose points there because there's no actual like video game interactivity.
That's
with that.
Fair enough.
But I do love Top Trumps. I do love the idea of that kind of game. So you've got a 6 for that.
Okay.
It's been dropped because of that. The Knights of the Old Republic card game in which you get to kind of online trade cards. I like the idea that achievements are actually usable. I like the idea that you're turning achievements into something that you can trade and actually do something cool with that advances the game. So you've got a 7 for that. Mm-hmm. Only because I didn't really like Knights of the Old Republic very much. So I might be slightly biased, but there we go. Micro Machines Burnout Paradise. I love the idea of having Micro Machines, and Micro Machines are the perfect kind of thing to be traded in this because they're little toys that you played with anyway, and let's face it, we bought them to play with them.
Yeah.
But also you get to put them in the game and you get to do cool things in the game as well. So I really, really like that idea. So you've got an 8 for that one.
Okay. I'm happy with it, of course.
Yeah, I'm very good. Right. I'm gonna do L. Silent Hill figurines. Fucking love it. Out of absolutely everything that came out of this, that is probably the most unique. I really like the idea, and I'd like to take it a step further. I'd almost like to take it, I didn't say this, but I had a separate list of stuff, and I added this to the list afterwards because you gave me an idea. But Dungeons and Dragons, yeah? So if you had a D&D style game.
Yes.
But, yeah, it's augmented reality. You've got like the dungeon master.
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah, the dungeon master has got one of these like magical portals or whatever you want to call it, and he's got access to a bunch of figurines that he's collected. And he can put these figurines down to attack the players. And the players have got their own magical portal things, and they can put things on them to counteract those things that they're being attacked by the dungeon master. That was on my list. After you said this, though, because before you said this, didn't even think about it. So I love the idea that it's a detrimental factor. I love the idea that it's something that you're putting into the game that is actually going to hurt you. So it's not something that's going to benefit you necessarily directly, but it's something that's going to hurt you. And I like the idea that somebody else could put a different character on. You don't know what they put on, and it could chase you. You don't know what you're being chased by. So I really like this. Cooking Mama Scratch and Sniff. And like the diametric opposite. Didn't get that. Didn't get this at all, right? I think maybe you were reaching a little bit with this one.
You said be funny.
It was funny. It was nonsensical. It was funny. I kind of like the idea. I don't see how it would work in a game, but it would be fucking hilarious. Especially if you've got four people in the same room all completely panting and dying of hyperventilation because they're all trying to... Yeah, and they're all drunk. Great. And they're scratching and sniffing all these cards. The Star Trek badges, however... Love that. I really, really like that idea. I like the idea of any cooperative couch-based game is great. You stuff augmented reality into it, and it's co-op, so you're not playing against each other, and you level up, and it's Star Trek. I've got to admit, the enormous geek factor on this would probably not make it sell to the masses.
No!
But
it would be so good!
But it's a strong contender. It's a nice idea. I'm going to give you a 7 for that. Lewis. Lewis, Lewis, Lewis.
Rich, rich, rich.
Let's not beat around any kind of bush here. The Worms figurines, accessories, and trading card combination. You've got 9 for that.
Good stuff.
That is every single kind of tradable, augmentable character that you can possibly get. And the fact that you're using it in augmented reality as well. So you're putting the figures down in front of your Kinect or whatever it is, and you're moving them around and playing the cards to actually play the character. Fucking love it. I absolutely love it. Everything's reusable. You can trade everything about it. You can level the characters up. Love it, love it, love it. Minecraft augmented reality. It's crazy. It's stupid. It's a crazy idea. I don't think it would actually work in practice, but I love the actual idea of it. You're getting an 8 for that.
Cool.
Football stickers game. I'm really sorry, guys, but as much as it pains me to hear it every single week when I get told that Lewis wins, Lewis wins the football stickers game. He's got another 8 for this. This was an absolutely brilliant idea. Every kid loved to collect the football stickers. When I was at school, before Pog came out, which was the only one that you guys didn't hit on, I was wondering whether somebody was going to hit Pog. The football stickers, everybody was collecting football stickers. If you put that into a kind of augmented reality game where by the time you've stuck the sticker down, you've committed that character to the game and you can then play it in the game, I fucking love it. I absolutely love it. It's taking a collectible sticker thing. So you've got your whole playground side of things. Granted, I get weird looks when I'm in the playground trading stickers nowadays. But normally, before it was weird, you could trade all your stickers. And then on top of that, you've got anything... You know, you've got the game. You've got the game that you can put the stickers into, and you get those characters. I'm not into football games, but I fucking love this idea. There's only one thing left that I'm surprised that Lewis specifically didn't come up with. But to be honest, I think your answers were stronger than this anyway. It's the Fallout 3 bobbleheads.
I was kind of
expecting you to go with it because they're a thing that's already in the game. You could collect them in real life and put them on something and kind of in the game. But it
did cross my mind. But I thought the ones that I went for were slightly stronger.
Your answers were stronger, guys. Do you know what? All of those were really good. All of them. The scratch and sniff. All right, that was a little bit. the Mario Kart Top Trumps could have been improved with an actual in-game integration somehow. Yeah. But other than that. Fucking hell. I genuinely didn't think that you guys would be able to pull out so many actually usable and workable kind of figurine or external collectible items that would work in computer games, but you managed to pull it off. So well done. That was really good. That was extraordinarily eye-opening, and I think that maybe we should hold this podcast back until we can get the patents down and all that. So Lewis wins. Congratulations, Lewis. Thank you very much. Other guys, I'm sorry. I completely understand your pain. I go through it every single week, but I couldn't do anything about it this week. The numbers spoke for themselves.
I can't believe Lewis won with the football answer.
I know. I can't believe he won with a football answer, and I was scoring.
I know.
That's the craziest thing. No, that's brilliant. Congratulations, Lewis. Commiserations, you guys. Thank you. But no, really strong, everybody. I'm really happy about that. If anybody else was listening to that and actually think to themselves, holy fuck in a basket, I can't believe people haven't done these things, tweet us. Let us know at ReadyP2 on Twitter because, yeah, that shocked me a little bit. So well done, guys. Well done. Right, that was brilliant. Okay, so we're gonna have a short break. We're going to outro and then we're going to fuck off. Does everybody feel like fucking off?
I do.
Yeah.
Fuck off. I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling good about this fucking off situation. No, we'll be right here. Back. Oh, no, no, you. All right, Elle's going to stay here. We're all going to leave. We will be right back.
The rain has stopped. The sun came out. What a beautiful day to take my family out to the mall. Then we split up. My wife takes Sean to get some shoes for his feet. And that's really sweet. But I got Jason. I got Jason. Oh wait, no, where did he go? He was standing right here. My wife's gonna kill me. Jason, where did he go? You got me searching high and low. My heart is racing. Press X to Jason. I'm walking around. Then I see a clown. And next to him is my little boy. So I bought him a toy. He's selling balloons. Jason wants a red one. So I shell out 2 single dollar bills. Then Jason runs for the hills. My wife just spotted me. Then I tell her our son is gone. Then I'm on the hunt again. Press X to Jason. Jason. So small. Oh hey, I see a red balloon. Oh no, that's not my kid at all. Then I walk outside to see Jason crossing the street. How could he have walked that far? Then Jason is killed by a car.
We're back, but we've got to go. Elle has a pressing engagement. Elle, how pressing is your engagement? That noise tells you how pressing her engagement is. So, we have to get going. Elle, would you like to tell everybody who you are, where you are, and why you've got to go? Go!
Hi, I'm Escaping IRL. I interview people. One of them is going to be Rand Miller in about 8 minutes. But there we go. You can find written stuff on the site. But you can also, in the future, find awesome reviews and indie spotlights. If you're an indie dev and you would like a spotlight, then go ahead and ask. If you are a person who likes indie devs and you think that they deserve a spotlight, go ahead and ask. There we go. Peace out.
Done. I'm Rich. You can find me at Zebwen on Twitter. You can occasionally find some of the shit that I've written down on the forums on the Ready Player 2 website. I very, very infrequently write stuff on the actual Ready Player 2 website, so probably don't bother looking for me there. Lewis, do it.
iLewis87, Google me.
That's it. Ross, go ahead.
I'm at RossBell1984 and at Man on the Post. That's all you need to know this week.
Thank you very much. We have been the four horsemen of the Ready Player 2 apocalypse. We bid you adieu. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
Good night.
So I'm just looking at that video.
Laughing about
cat running into a door. It's only 10 seconds.
French baking program and a cat bait. They cut. there's a GIF under it, just under. Oh, sorry, a GIF of it, just underneath.
Stupid cat.
How did they leave that in? I can't believe they've left that in. How did that not get edited out?
I'm dying.
She might actually have killed itself. Oh my word, I'm gonna have to show it. Hannah! Come here!
Oh my god.
Why is he even there?
I don't know why they didn't edit it out.
In all fairness, if that happened in my video, I wouldn't edit it.